Wow, it's good to be back at youth. It's good to be back at youth. Hey, I'm wearing the bucket hat. Jess said I had to explain it. I tried to leave it in the stroller, and then she said that I had to wear it. I'm wearing the bucket hat because the Timberwolves are playing in the... Yeah, I was just stopping for the clap thing. The Western Conference Finals for the first time in 20 years. And it's kind of a big deal because 20 years ago, I was 5 years old and Kevin Garnett was not old. And it was a good time watching the Timberwolves. So I'm just really excited for the Ant-Man and Cat to go all the way to the finals. Okay? Okay. If you don't like the Timberwolves before I said that, you're not allowed to come to the watch party. Okay? Okay, perfect. All right. So let's dive into the final message of youth 2024. I should have titled it the final message of youth, but I didn't. We're sticking with our series Icons of the Bible. The reason that Jess and I were gone for 2 weeks was because we added a baby. And I'll tell you what, she is a big baby. Already into the next size of clothes, size one diapers. I know this means nothing to most of you, but like, whoa. She was back to her birth weight 5 days after coming out of the womb, which is insanity. And you really can't keep up. She just sleeps and eats. It's amazing. Really, really great little baby. We're super thankful for her. Her name is Emberlyn. We call her Emmy. Her middle name is Rain. Emberlyn Rain. So you can ooh and ah at the pictures. And then as she grows up, I'm sure you'll see her around here and there. And then, of course, you know Kaylee, the unofficial mascot. Lettuce of 2022-23. All right, today we're talking about Joshua and the Wall, continuing our series in the icons of the Bible. This is the last one, the last icon that we're going to cover. And I'll tell you what, the only icon that we didn't cover was Jesus, and that's because he's woven into every single story. And I'm really pumped for the ways that Jesus is woven into this story in the way that it's going to impact how we look at the summer. Now, I want you to know off the bat that next year, when we come back to youth, 24-25 school year, our goal, our hope, our mission with youth is to take ground. That's what we're saying. We are going to take ground over our city, over our schools, and over our lives because the enemy has taken a lot of ground from us before we even knew what we were fighting for. And now that we have a chance, now that we have a chance to recognize, we have an opportunity to take ground back from him. And I think that that is the beautiful part about this story right here, the story of Joshua. So we're going to dive right in. And I'm going to give you a little backstory before we go too far ahead. So let's go backwards on the slides here. I can do it with the clicker if you want. Joshua and the Wall. I don't want you to read ahead too far. So figuring out who Joshua is. So you might have known who Moses was. He wrote the Ten Commandments down. God gave it to him. Went up on a mountain. Came down with the Ten Commandments and led the Israelites. Now Moses was a good leader, but not a great leader. And the reason why I say that is because as he was leading, the people were not following. Now you can't control everyone, but I believe that you know, some people just had it, and some people struggled a little bit, and Moses wasn't always answering the Lord the way that he could have. And that left a gap of 40 years, actually, because the Israelites refused to enter the promised land, the land that God had promised them after they were freed from slavery in Egypt. You might know little bits of this story back and forth. And then we got to the next part. And that's where Joshua comes in. Moses dies. Joshua is Moses' apprentice. And as soon as Moses dies, Joshua is raised up into action. And it all begins with this. In the first chapter of Joshua, verse 7 through 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is where it all begins. 40 years, the Israelites are marching through the wilderness because of the choices of their ancestors, because of the choices of their fathers. It was like this. You might not love what you were born into. It might not be a perfect situation that you were born into. You had no control over that whatsoever. In the same way, Joshua was born into a situation that he had no control over. All he could do was love and serve God. He could serve his master Moses as an apprentice, as an intern, however you want to look at it, as a son, a spiritual son. And then he could serve God well. And by serving God well, he rose to the position of leadership that he did. Now, the problem was that in the 40 years that the Israelites are walking through the wilderness, wandering, the city that God promised to them, the land that God promised to them, gets inhabited by people, and they build a wall. They build a big wall. In the same way, I think that the enemy is built walls around some of our lives, built walls around our city and said that we can't do this or we can't do that, that the Holy Spirit can't move here, can't move there, that you're going to be stuck in the circumstances that you're living in right now. But it's amazing what God does. Because when God says that it will happen, he will make a way for it to happen. God said that they would cross the Jordan and go into the promised land, and that the wall would not be a problem. So Joshua sends out two people to go and spy out the land and figure out what's up. They climb the wall. They get into the city. They get hidden in a house of a prostitute nonetheless. So not exactly like a clean person to hang out with if you're an Israelite. They tried to do everything by the book, not associate with those that didn't. But the prostitute was the only person in the land that showed kindness to them, and that went a lot further than anything in her past. Here's how it lays out. In Joshua 6, this is what the Lord says after the spies return and say, there's a wall around this place that you called the promised land. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, the Lord said, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. It's just a story in the Bible, right? But obedience is the beginning of your breakthrough, the beginning of the Israelites' breakthrough. Think of it this way. This is how crazy that sounds. We're all going to stand up, the entire youth group. We're going to walk around the church. The church is maybe not a great example, but we're going to walk around the church, big brick walls, 7 days in a row. And on the 7th day, we're going to walk around the church 7 times. And then at the end of the 7th time, we're just all going to yell really loud and the walls are going to fall down. You want to try it? It's not going to work, okay? It's not. God didn't say it would work, so it's not going to work. But that's how crazy it was, and that's how crazy it sounded. That's why I was thinking, just recently I was thinking, it's actually been on my mind so much as we've been away from church for just a little bit. Why in the world do we come to church? Why do you guys show up in the seats? The seats do nothing for you, I promise. Sometimes we pray over them. So maybe you got one that was pre-blessed, and then you sat down in it, and that blessing just, like, goes to you. I hope so. But why do we come to church? Why do we step into community? Why? Because our parents said to? Because that's what their parents did before them? Because we had a cool moment with the Holy Spirit? I've had a lot of cool moments with the Holy Spirit in my bedroom. A lot of cool moments on my deck, a lot of cool moments in the car. Why do you come back to church? Because God commanded us to continue meeting together. And obedience is the beginning of breakthrough. So when someone tells me, hey, I'm really struggling, you know what? The first thing that I ask is, where's your community found? Hey, there's a wall in my life. Where's your community found? Hey, there's something going on here. Where's your community found? Are you getting into community? Are you getting into church? Are you into small group? Are you participating? Are you floating by? Are you taking notes? What does it look like for you? Because we could figure it all out really fast by just going like, hey, your attitude, your decisions, how you number your days, how you are intentional will determine the future of your life, will determine the rest of your summer and your school year and so on and so forth. There's no more time left that we can just say, hey, I'm gonna get it right next time. There's no more time left, guys. Because if we're not taking ground in our lives in the name of Jesus, if we're not taking strides towards godliness, then the enemy is taking strides in our lives and taking us over, and eventually we're going to stumble and fall, and it's going to be really hard to get back up. Obedience is the beginning of your breakthrough. What is God calling you to? God was calling the Israelites to walk around a wall no matter what it was going to look like. He called them to walk around this wall. I'm telling you right now, I would not want to walk around the wall. But when they started walking around the wall and the people of Jericho laughed, and my favorite part about this story as I'm reading is I can see the VeggieTales in my head. Has anyone seen the Joshua and the Big Wall? Come on, man, they have slushy machines in Jericho and they are throwing purple slushies at those walking around the wall as they ridicule and mock them. Now, I don't think they had slushy machines in the ancient East, but I do believe that they were ridiculing and mocking these people because their walls were high and their gates were tight, and the Bible says no one went in and no one went out. But obedience was the beginning of their breakthrough, because as they walked around the wall, God did something that he can't do unless we're obedient. Here's what happened in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. The trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, and everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. Just like that. All those people ridiculing and mocking, do you think they were ready to fight a battle? Probably not. And they took ground that day. Guys, there are walls in your life. And maybe those walls in your life are because of you. Maybe you walked away from what God had for you. Maybe you walked away from what he had for you, from what the promised land looked like in your life, relationship with him. And now there's a wall. And he's, you know what's right. You know what you need to obey. You know how you need to get back into fellowship and community. You know you need to go the distance together with others. But people are going to make fun of you. People are going to throw purple slushies at you. And it's going to be a difficult journey. But that's why we go together, right? Testimony in my own life. My wife just gave birth, and we go to my brother's wedding, and it was really fun and great. Love my brother and his now wife. But the whole time we're at the wedding, we'll start the wedding ceremony off. We didn't even get past the part where the father of the bride steps back. He didn't even say, like, yeah, I'll give this girl to get married. And the bride's brother fainted on me. It was hot in there. But he faints on me, and then all of a sudden, we're at this big intermission, and we're kind of like, what is going on? What's going to happen? And the whole time, I'm thinking, my wife gave birth 12 days ago. We need to get this thing on the road because she is not going to make it. And Jessica turned a little bit pale. She said that she felt like she was going to pass out, and then she sat down. But that's what I was thinking the whole time. And then we get done with the ceremony, and she starts talking to me, and she says, Cole, I'm in so much pain. I'm experiencing a lot of pain in my abdomen, and my mind goes right to worst case scenario. My wife just gave birth. This is really intense. I don't like it at all. Okay, it scares you just a little bit. And it started to feel like there was this wall rising up in our life, because if you know me very well, and some of you do, but some of you probably don't know me this well. We've had a lot of challenges with having kids. So Jessica and I actually lost our very first baby. And then later we had Kaylee, and Kaylee was a really difficult pregnancy that ended up having to be giving birth early because Miss Kaylee was just ready to meet the world and Jessica's body didn't want to be pregnant anymore. And then we had Emmy, and Emmy is beautiful, but Emmy is big. And it was very uncomfortable for 5'1 Jessica to have this massive child inside of her, 11 pounds. And so then as we come to the baby is born and everything is good. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm in so much pain. And the pain kept happening and it kept happening. And all of a sudden she's doubling over and she's in tears and she's like, I'm in so much pain. So I say, okay, let's get in the car. Let's go to the ER. Let's figure out what's going on. This is not normal, not okay. We're not going to be in pain anymore. But this wall starts rising up all around me. And the whole time on the car, I'm just kind of frank to myself. And she's kind of hunched over, feeling this pain. And I'm thinking, like, what is going on? This feels like such a wall. Where am I going with this story? Well, I'm going to community. I feel like the Lord is really challenging me to emphasize community tonight. It was so humbling. The people that surrounded our family in each of the crises that we walked through, but especially as we felt like this wall was rising up all around us. People just showed up. People that shouldn't show up. Just showed up. Just cared. Just walked through it. I talked to someone in the lobby earlier who said that they've been praying every day for Jessica, that she would feel better. That this pain would go away, that she'd be healed. That's what community does. When there's a wall in your life and you bind together with those around you and you say, hey, there is a wall in my life and I can't get through it. I can't get over it. I need the Lord to bring the wall down. Then you have to have community around you. And that's why it's so important that we dig deep in our small groups, throughout the summer with our friends, that we put our differences aside, that we put our challenges aside, that we put the wrong things, that the wrong focuses aside, and we just go deep with Jesus because it makes a difference in our lives around us. And then as we take ground over our city and our schools, our relationships, our friends, and especially in generations, as we take ground and we see God, we can't forget that God is the one that made a difference. You know, the most challenging thing that I've experienced in my life is not, Miley talked about the fear of like getting up on the platform last week and how much she needed God to do it. The challenging thing in my life is not that I need God to get up on the platform. It's that I don't need God to get up on the platform. It's not that I'm so anxious, what's going to happen? It's that I could put God aside and not see him for who he is and what he's done. That I could walk out the blessings that he has put into my life and not acknowledge him for the God and provider that he is. When God breaks down your walls and you step into the favor that he has for you, then will you still remember him? The Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness. They walked into a city after going around it 7 days. They didn't do anything. They walked into the city. And one man messed it all up. In Joshua 7, verse 1 and then 10 and 12, the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things, or the shrines and the altars and all the things to other gods. So Achan, son of Carmi, and son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. So the question is, how are you going to follow through? How are you going to follow through? When you experience the walls come down in your life and you take the ground that the Lord has promised to you and you live into the promises and the freedom that he promised you, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond in thanks to God, obeying him, giving him your life, your all, your everything? Or are you just going to do your own thing again? I don't know about every one of you, but I know that the majority of you really want a relationship with God. You really want to experience the saving power and the changing power of the Holy Spirit. You want to be moved into community and for your community. You want to see a generation rise up into godliness and shun idolatry and shun all the things of the world. It starts today, though. It starts in the little things in your life. It starts by being intentional with your every thought, with your every Snapchat, with your every text. It matters so much because that's what makes a difference. So if we're going to say, God, use me in my generation, God, you break down walls in my life, let me come alongside these people, let's make a difference, then we have to be willing to follow through when those things happen. We've experienced miracles at youth this year. We've watched God do incredible things. I know he's filled you with the Holy Spirit, many of you. Some of you got healed. Some of you experienced God in a way that would have never been something you thought even possible. But where's the follow through? How are we following through? How are you doing on that? How's it coming along? Are you getting in your Bible? Are you finding your way to your knees? Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Or are you coasting? Because it's good right now. No pain in my life, not depressed, not anxious. Seasonal depression has taken an all-time low in May at 70 degrees and sunny. So I don't need God anymore? Where are you at, guys? I need God still in the mountains and on the valleys, because I'm not going to be able to find him in the desert if I don't seek him on the mountain. And I'm not going to be able to maintain my relationship with him on a mountain if I'm not willing to follow him through the desert. So let's be intentional. Chase after Jesus. We're going to go into a song of worship. I want to encourage you guys, if you want to respond in the altar, you're more than welcome to. You can stand to your feet as we worship. I'm just going to pray us out. Father God, we just ask that you would anoint this time of worship and give us such an opportunity to step into your presence right now. We love you, Jesus. Give us clean hands and a pure heart as we desire to chase after you, as we want to make a difference and still continue to go deeper this summer. We love you, Jesus.